Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire. Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives for your our joy and prize, to see the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we
pray. I've been thinking of the poor man, seeking some answers to my questions. Who is the poor? Where's he living now? What part do I play in his condition? Lord, open up my eyes. So now I'm looking for the poor man. Do you know who he is or where he's living now? Some say that he's poor because of how I live. Some say that he's poor because he's lazy. He won't even help himself. Who do I believe? The choice just isn't fair. Do I accept the blame or do I say that I don't care? There must just be another choice I can't see. I opened up my eyes and saw the poor man walk by. He was old, cold, and hungry. He was ready to die. I looked again and saw another poor man pass by. I was born the wrong color, was his pitiful cry. Oh, I can see there are more, but there is one emerging who's the poorest of all. The poor are they who only live for themselves, holding to life as precious treasure. Jesus said we must lay down our lives and love our neighbors without measure. It's the sacrifice of love. Who do I believe? The choice just isn't fair. Do I accept the blame, or do I say that I don't care? There must be another choice. It's the sacrifice of love.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. It's good to be with you again this morning, this weekend. What is a snowy and icy weekend? But with that, as always, whenever, wherever, however you are listening, it's good to be together as we continue now working our way through what is an ancient letter we call 2 Corinthians, continuing our journey down that sidewalk of life. Again, what is a metaphor, the sidewalk, this enduring symbol of our common experience, struggles, joys, sorrows, our common life, what is a representation of the journey we all must take. And with that, all of the beauty and the wonder, the awe and delight, all of that in concert with traveling together with the very real and often persistent ache and loss, the anguish and despair, a reality the Apostle Paul invites us to face. Noting he begins here sharing his own experience, picking up the letter in verse 8 today, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters," meaning we do not want you to not know about. We do not want you to disregard or ignore. We do not want you to not recognize. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. He goes on about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia, noting he does not go into great detail here. He does not get into the specifics of his troubles, thlipsis in the Greek. What is that thing, whatever it is, remember from last week, that thing that presses down upon you, that thing that weighs heavy? Maybe that's an illness, either your own or that of a loved one. Maybe it's a conflict, a relationship filled with disagreement. Maybe it's COVID and the impact it's having on your life, both directly and indirectly, right? The isolation, loneliness. Maybe it's the local and national and global unrest weighing heavily on your heart and mind. Whatever that thing is for you, whatever that thing is for you, notice here, Paul keeps it all rather open. He does not identify, he does not specify thlipsis, whatever it is that is pressing down upon you, whatever it is that weighs heavy. But with that, notice Paul, he does drill down into the resulting sort of angst and ache. Speaking here of his own experience, he goes on, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." So that we despaired of life itself. He then adds, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death." Paul is speaking here of a sense of hopelessness. This idea of impossibility, meaning there is seemingly no way out. It is beyond our ability to hold it all together. You are now overburdened and worried. You are anxious and distracted. And Paul takes us directly into the midst of your sleepsies. Again, whatever that is for you, whatever that looks like for you. But notice then, Paul, he doesn't just leave you there. He doesn't just leave you there. He continues in verse 9, "But this happened," meaning this trouble, this sleepsies, that this whatever it is for you right now, today, this week, this month, that thing that has been blanketing you like the snow that has fallen this weekend. Paul writes, "But this thing that seems impossible and you can't see any way out, that is beyond your ability, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves." We might not, patho in the Greek, what holds in a word this idea of trust, meaning to put your trust in, "so that we might place our trust not in ourselves, but rather, patho, put our trust in God who raises from the dead." In other words, we put our trust in the one who does the impossible, and the one who offers us a way out, and not just once, but always. Verse 10, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril," right? From such an impossibility. "And he will deliver us again," meaning it's ongoing, never ending. "On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." Paul, he invites us to face into all of the thlipsis, all of the whatever comes our way, in everything, both big and small. And in the midst of, he invites us then to put our trust in God. A way of trust, no doubt, that has taken hold of Paul. A way of trust that had led him to face into the really hard stuff of life. To face into all of the thlipsis. All of the impossible with its sense of hopelessness. A way of trust that would see him through. That would see him through all of the seemingly no way outs and the beyond his abilities, overburdened and worried, anxious and distracted. Noting the language in this passage, the not relying, not trusting in ourselves, but rather putting our trust in God, it absolutely mirrors the ancient wisdom from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A passage, no doubt, that would have shaped Paul's thinking. A passage that many of you no doubt have memorized, a passage I want to turn for just a bit today, this weekend. And so picking it up in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we read the words of a man named Solomon, spoken 3,000 years ago. Noting Solomon, he begins with, "Trust in the Lord." Noting the word trust, betah, in Hebrew carries the same idea as patho, and literally means to completely lean into. I've shared it before, of a time now, years ago, a time I will add when I was experiencing all of the hopelessness. When I was bearing the weight of impossibility, there was no way out. It was beyond my ability to hold it all together. I was quite literally falling apart. Sleepsies was not just knocking at the door. It had absolutely smashed through the door and had taken hold. But it was in the midst of all of that angst and ache that God led me into a process. And as part of my experience, I was invited to do a trust fall. We're standing on the edge of that picnic table, falling backwards, completely, absolutely terrified. But it was in that moment of letting go, we could say of trusting, betah, completely leaning into, it was in that very moment the impossible became possible, the no way through opened up before me. It was in that very moment that hope began to rise up. It is in that very moment of trust. Trust in the Lord, Solomon says. Trust in the Lord. completely lean into God. It is there, Paul writes, it is there in those moments when hope seems lost, when Lepsius has broken down the door, when despairing of life itself, it is then we are called to patho. Overwhelmed, terrified, there is no way out, it is right then we bata. It is in that moment that we completely lean into. It is then he will catch us. He will see us across the high wire of life. Have faith. Put your trust in. Completely lean into. We begin with trust in the Lord, and then we read with all your heart, or as one scholar puts it, concentrate the whole of your life on the act of contemplation of God. That is to place all of you that is you, all of who you are, wholly leaning into, completely leaning into the person of God. All your faith, your hope, your trust, all of your commitment, your devotion, your full dependence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then we read, and lean not on your own understanding. From the Hebrew bina, meaning to build or to construct. It carries this idea of between, as in the ability to distinguish between. And so don't build, don't construct, don't put your faith, your hope, your trust in your own ability. We could say in your own ability to do the impossible, to find your way out, to hold it all together. As Paul wrote, right, don't patho in yourself. And then verse 6, in all your ways, meaning the totality of your life, meaning all your choices, in all your ways, every path you take, every sidewalk you travel, every detail of life, in all your ways, in everything. And then submit to Him. Noting the word submit, which is a word we've considered also before at length, it is from the Hebrew yada. What is this idea of knowing? Both to know and to be known. And so really speaks of a significant closeness, of a deep intimacy. It is a oneness of heart, mind, soul, and strength. Trust in the Lord. Completely, wholly lean into God with all your heart, every fiber of your being. Lean not on your own understanding, but rather in all of life, the totality of your life, all of your decisions, every path you take, every sidewalk you travel, in everything, yada. Cultivate this deep, intimate relationship with me. Trust me. Be with me. Live with me. Present in every aspect, in every moment of life. And He, God, will make your paths straight. Noting this final sort of stanza, this last line, it is the promise. Noting also the phrase, will make straight, it is the same word found in Isaiah 45 and 2, where it simultaneously means to make the crooked places straight, to level the mountains, to make the rough places smooth. It carries this sense of to be pleasing. Trust in the Lord, completely, wholly leaning into God with all your heart, every fiber of your being. Lean not on your own understanding, but rather in all of life, the totality of your life, all of your decisions, every path you take, every sidewalk you travel, in everything, yada. Cultivate this deep holistic relationship with God. Trust Him, be with Him, live with Him, present in every aspect, every moment of life. And He, God, will make the crooked places straight. He will level the mountains. He will make the rough places smooth. All of which leads us to consider, as you perhaps gaze out upon the snow drifts and the icicles, where are we, me, you, putting our trust? Where are we putting our trust? Right now, this moment, this day, this week, this season. Right, where do I place my trust when Lepsius comes knocking, when there seems no way out? Bearing the weight of impossibility, when I can no longer hold it together. Where am I putting my trust? We could ask, on what or whom am I completely leaning? Right, whatever it is that is pressing you down, whatever it is that weighs heavy, on what or whom am I completely leaning? On what or whom am I constructing my life? And then with that, we also need to ask, what might it look like for me to yada with God? Right, think intimacy. How might I cultivate a deep intimacy with God? Where am I putting my trust? Where do I place my trust? On whom am I completely leaning? And what might it look like for me, right, to cultivate this deep intimacy with God? We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You for Your word to us. We ask that in the days to come, we would be a people who, above all else, put our trust, lean into You. And as we seek You, as we lean in, may we also experience that deep intimacy. For it is in You we have our hope. We pray this would be true for each one. Amen.